I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
Filling up this morning, 280 price to beat for a gallon of gas. More on your money at WTAM.com. Keyword money. Cinco de Mayo Day today and a big celebration. Lots of fun. The hang is at the Foundry Social Medina. Trending Scooter East producer extraordinaire coming up. Trump's got something from the desk of, I guess, Facebook's going to rule today if he's going to come back online, too.
Right, he has that. And then now, a communications platform from the desk of Donald J. Trump.
That coming up, plus a wine that was in outer space.
Outer space going for $1 million.
Wow. Trending stories on the way. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Good morning, Pat Butler.
That's out of this world.
Yeah, it is. All righty, Pat. Cleveland 3 News weather from meteorologist Holly Strano. Still a chance of a sprinkle today. About 50 for a high. Kind of a chilly day. Scattered rain around. A lot of it south of us right now on the radar. 49 at your severe weather.
Expanding the Wills and Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Show Graham podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
Try it with a win, and the Cavaliers ran out of gas in overtime. Mike Snyder Sports coming up. All right, a couple things trending for you. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Let's do the, this is a wine story first, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
On two. All physical separation visually confirmed.
Send in the space wine. In with the astronauts went 12 bottles of Bordeaux wine aboard the International Space Station. Packed tightly in steel cylinders, the wine was never uncorked. It hung out in space for the last year as an experiment to study how gravity and oxygen affect the fermentation process. Now, back on a very different Earth than when they left, the bottles had been popped, sniffed, and sampled by sommeliers. Experts say there are noticeable differences in the space wine from the bottles that stayed on this planet. The most obvious difference, the price. Each one of these cosmic bottles runs 5,000 euros, or about $6,000.
The one that had remained on Earth, for me, was still a little bit more closed, a bit more tannic, a bit younger.
Researchers also found the weightlessness didn't ruin the wine. In fact, it might have had the opposite effect, saying it seemed to energize it.
I like the way they talk about wine all the time.
Yes.
I'm not that. I can't get into that much.
Well, it's now being auctioned off for $1
million. $1 million.
So that's
of all the things we're researching fermentation.
Yes.
With wine up there.
With wine up there. Right. And they said, well, you know, it didn't. A little taste, a little different.
Facebook will announce later today if Trump can get back on, but he's got a new online communications tool from the desk of Donald Trump. Videos and all. You can see that story as well. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com, right?
Correct. And Cinco, okay. It is Cinco de Mayo, Bill, yeah. And is sometimes mistaken for Mexico's Independence Day, which is not today. That is September the 16th. Cinco de Mayo is the anniversary of the Battle of Puebla, a victory over the French by the Mexican forces.
Right.
So just so everybody understands, it's not Mexican Independence Day.
Right, but it's still a reason to celebrate.
It sure is. Of course it is.
We went out to Mexican and last night, they were getting ready. I mean, they were getting ready for
that. You go in the grocery stores, you go to the beer aisle, you
everybody
see Cinco de Mayo.
And you're the one standing there going, it's not actually the Mexican Independence Day, just so everybody knows, but still a couple of coronas
details,
over here.
Details.
Yeah, well, people get confused.
Details. No, they don't. Because every year we remind us, so we get it.
Okay.
We get it. Okay.
Well, you know. Hey, you just want to go on the record and be right, you know?
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Check those stories out. Scoot, thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Coming up in five, Rory O'Neill on a CIA recruitment video that's causing some controversy. And the car business right now, it's really upside down. So many people will tell you the best deals are on pre-owns. But John Matarese over News 5 says, hold on, there's some models you're getting a better deal on a new one. Because of the way the inventory is, it's all kind of screwy right now. So we'll get into that coming up. 5:15 sports. Mike Snyder in from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk.
Bill, the Indians and Royals game two of the series. Tribe fell behind 3-0 after five. In the sixth, they would tie the game. Harold Ramirez delivered the game-tying single. Then in the eighth, it was that guy Ramirez again.
Stamont is ready. Hands at the bill. He fires a swing and a shot toward right field. It's a fair ball! Inside the line and down into foul territory. Near the sidewall it goes. In to score the go-ahead run is Reyes. And it's an RBI double for Harold Ramirez. And just what Tino talked about on the manager's show, with two strikes, Ramirez doesn't try to pull everything. He got a fastball and shot it the other way, down that right field line for a go-ahead RBI double.
Well, he has delivered this week. Indians would then add on an RBI single by Naylor, and then Jake Bowers, a pinch hit, two-run homer. Yes, Jake Bowers. 7-3, Indians win it, Tito says.
I'd say our pitching hung in there. I mean, we were down 2-0, 3-0, but it seemed like more kind of. But we hung around, and then we did some good things. I mean, Franmil moving up on the ball in the dirt. Harold hit the ball down the right field line. I thought Loop's play in left was huge. That ended that inning, so that was really big for us.
So the Indians get the first two games of the series, and they send Shane Bieber to the mound tonight, 8:10 game time. You can hear that game on 100.7 WMMS. In the AL Central now, the Royals and White Sox are on top at 16-12. Indians a game back at 15-13. At Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse last night, Cavaliers and the Suns in overtime.
Booker, right side Johnson, down in the corner. Bridges, three, good.
Yeah, Bridges.
That's the nail in the coffin, you would think. Boy, 15 unanswered points by Phoenix in overtime. Well, they weren't playing here in the extra session.
They were not. Cavaliers took them to that OT game. Was tied at 114 at regulation. A big reason they were able to do that, rookie Isaac Okoro with the best night of his rookie season. 32-point game from Isaac, but the Cavs fizzled in the extra session. The Cavs were back in action tonight, looking to snap a 7-game losing streak when they take on Portland at 7:30. You can hear it right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. The Wild Thing is back with the Cavs. Andy Barajow signed a 10-day deal with the team yesterday.
Hopefully I can get out there and do some crazy things like Andy used to do back in the days. But the main thing is just to be back with the guys and kind of help the younger guys too.
He was on the bench yesterday, but not in uniform. And the Browns continue to stockpile defensive linemen. Yesterday, they signed veteran Damian Square. He's played the last 7 seasons with the Chargers. And don't rule out a return by Sheldon Richardson, who they let go for salary cap reasons. They still have an interest in bringing him back if they can get the right deal. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM.
Meanwhile, everybody's hiring, including our CIA. They got the help wanted to sign out. There's an uproar over a CIA recruitment video. Rory O'Neill on the story this morning. So what's going on here?
Yeah, we'll call it an uproaree. How about that? so they have this YouTube page, and Humans of the CIA is one of the parts of it. This is all put together by the CIA, and a new 2-minute video is catching a lot of attention from conservatives and even more than a few liberals. In the video, a woman who is a CIA agent describes herself as, quote, a woman of color, a mom, a cisgender millennial diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. She goes on to say, I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. You know, some former CIA director like Mike Pompeo says, really, the CIA has somehow developed a liberal and woke agenda. He says when he led the agency, he would hire people based on their talent and skill, not their race and sexuality. So there's been a lot of conservative critics on this video and this series of video. On the left, however, critics even accuse the agency of co-opting some of their progressive language.
So what's the CIA going to do? I mean, they're needing people. They want to be very broad in who they hire.
Right, and that's really been the focus of this whole web page, this whole YouTube series of videos that started back in January. So far, the video remains up. It's been on their website for about a week or so. They've just faced a barrage of criticism. Some of it pointed at the Biden administration in particular, but it's unclear when these videos began or when the production of this video began. Some of these videos as part of this Humans of the CIA series date back to January.
Meghan McCain tweeting on this CIA recruitment video was a joke, truly embarrassing for our entire country. China, Russia, our enemies are probably laughing at us. So when Meghan McCain has her say, that's pretty much all there is to it.
Period, end of sentence.
Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks. Here's some breakfast for your brain.
Well, it's really strange right now when it comes to buying a new vehicle. I mean, the word new to you, it's going to be a new vehicle that you're going to drive, right? Whether it's pre-owned or new off the lot. This is Bill Wills. John Matarese joins me on our Don't Waste Your Money Consumer Guy over News 5. Hey, John, traditionally, if you and I were talking about a quote-unquote new vehicle for the family, you'd say, well, Bill, you want to look pre-owned. But with what's going on right now, that's not exactly the case in all models, right?
That's right, Bill. You know, this is a topsy-turvy year for so many things. I think you've talked about what's going on with home sales, yeah, builders. It's just crazy, yeah, with prices. And the same thing is happening in the car market. And used car prices are going through the roof this year. If you're looking for a used car, we're talking about one that's within 3 years old. You know, like a lease trade-in, a couple of years old, somebody traded in a lease. Mm-hmm. And normally you get those for so much cheaper than a new car. You know, it's like, oh, you know, grandpa always said the car depreciates 10 grand the minute you right, drive it off the lot.
Right.
So a lot of people are now conditioned to buy a 2 or 3 year old used car. It looks almost new. You get it for much cheaper. But what's happening now is there's so few used cars in that category available that the prices are soaring on them. And what's happened, we talked to some car dealers, they say a couple of things. One is the rental car companies are not turning in used rental cars because they have like no cars right now. That's a whole nother story. Yeah. But also people last year did not turn in cars. They did not trade in cars in the pandemic. They were locked up at home last June and July. They did not want to trade in a car and test drive new cars. So they kept their cars. As a result, the number of used cars for sale, it's like at a 10-year low. Prices are going up. And we looked at a study by the group iccars.com, which analyzed millions of car sales over the past year. And what they're saying is that with a lot of in-demand vehicles, the used car price on one that's like 2 years old is almost the same as the new car price. And I'll give you an example real quickly. Mm-hmm. Jeep Wrangler. You know, everybody wants a four-door Jeep Wrangler. You see them all over.
Yeah.
Ohio. And with those, the two-year-old price is still so high. I mean, it's only like 5% below the new car price. They say with a new car, you get no miles on it. You get the full manufacturer warranty, which you don't get on a two-year-old car, because somebody's been driving it for 2 years. So don't just assume that a 2 or 3 year old vehicle is going to be cheaper, especially if it's a pickup truck or a popular SUV like the Jeep Wrangler. Buying new might be a better value in the long run.
Some of those products, there's a couple Teslas, there's a Toyota on the list. Now, when it comes to continuing buying used, I think in general terms, and I know you hate to be general, but normally the luxury cars, you do better buying pre-owned. I know they're talking about some Mercedes and Lincoln models as well. So I guess bottom line is you got to do your research, right, John?
Yeah, you got to do some research. But yeah, with the luxury cars, they still depreciate. You want a Cadillac, a Mercedes, a big BMW, big Audi, they depreciate quickly because most luxury car buyers looking for those, they want a new one. So the used ones that are a few years old are not as popular. Their prices are down. But again, it's the pickup trucks or the big SUVs where the used car prices are through the roof right now.
John Matarese is our Don't Waste Your Money consumer guy over at News 5. Follow him on Twitter, like him on Facebook, and some of the info we got at iccars.com. John, thanks much.
Great talking to you.
Speaking of the pandemic, getting everybody back into the office, it might be a challenge.
And now, 5 good minutes.
No one should wait. Let's try to hit that 70% mark. Many adults have not been vaccinated because they have found it too confusing or too difficult or too inconvenient to get a shot. We're going to make it easier than ever.
Maybe they just don't want to at this point. President Biden yesterday, he was in with some fifth graders the other day and talking about them doing virtual learning. And many of them said they like virtual learning because they could stop and get a snack whenever they wanted. And a lot of people like virtual work, too, because they can, you know, schedule their own time. It's a challenge, it looks like, as far as reopening offices and getting people back if, you know, where their job was before. Anyway, Greg Stebbins, our career business insider on it, it's getting a lot of discussion anymore. So, Greg, let me ask you, can my employer make me, can they make me get the vaccine first of all?
Sort of.
Okay, all right.
You can say your company policy is that you must be vaccinated. But the reality is, and I am kind of paraphrasing an attorney here, you are going to have to give accommodations to certain people because of things like disability,
right,
or religion. And that's probably going to impact, let's say, 20 to 40% of your employee base. And then this attorney says, and I think it's really the right question, are you sure you want to alienate or even fire 20 to 40% of your work base? Because what's going to be the impact of that on your other employees and even your customers? So, yes, you do have some rights as the employer, but it's complicated and you don't have 100% power over the circumstance.
I've kind of internally laughed at HIPAA laws. I mean, for years, people were like, hey, you can't know anything about me. And now we're telling everybody, I got my vaccine or I didn't get my vaccine. It's a strange time. Now, let me ask you this. When you're running a business, it's and we've talked about this a lot. I mean, in Ohio, the mandate is to come in, you got to have the mask on. But it's up to your, you know, your store to kind of enforce this. Bars, restaurants are getting fined for this stuff all the time. As a business, could you force your customer to get vaccinated? I mean, could the sign be there on the door? We don't allow guns, but you got to have a vaccine to get in here.
So that, you know, that's another big complicated thing. And you can see in some businesses where, for instance, I read about a wedding planner who only wanted to plan weddings for customers that were going to require all guests to be vaccinated.
Wow.
And again, you're never going to get past the accommodations because of disability or religion, and that's always going to be somewhere between 20% and 40% of the population. So the answer is you can try to force your customers to do something, but you're constantly going to have to be giving exceptions. And we've all seen the videos online and on YouTube of people storming into a store and saying, or screaming, I got an exception. So it's really unfair, frankly, to make businesses have to enforce this, because that's not the business they're in. They're
yep.
in the business of planning weddings, or selling groceries, or whatever it is they do.
Now, Greg and I are kind of kicking around these topics, but you can get into some big arguments. And obviously, we've come off a heated political year, and, well, it still is for many. You came across a company, though. Is it called Base Camp? They've banned a lot of discussion, or really any, about politics?
That's absolutely right, and they're not the first one. So Basecamp is, even though the company is based in Chicago, it's really kind of a Silicon Valley company in the sense that, you know, they've been on the cutting edge of, you know, here's the future of work, and it's going to look like this, and it's very human-centric, and we do these wonderful things for our employees. They're not doing that stuff for their employees anymore. The first thing they said is, you cannot talk about politics at work. We're not banning some of it. We're banning all of it. You cannot talk about politics at work. I think this is a great thing. A lot of people, for instance, where else, on Twitter, are appalled at what Basecamp did. But in my opinion, there, anytime a particular political point of view begins to dominate in a group, some people in the group who don't agree either feel like they're the opposition or they feel like they're being silent. I think this move by Basecamp is great. No matter what your political beliefs, you get to work here and do it with peace and quiet. And if you want to talk politics with your coworkers, you can. You just can't do it on the company property or on the company web tools. So
right.
You can do it on your own Slack channel or your own WhatsApp or Signal account. You just can't do it on the company's account.
Let me get you out of here on a couple takeaways. Could there be positives? It seems like we're talking about a lot of negatives, but as you're running a company, running a business, I mean, I think in one way you're also communicating an awful lot with your employees, which can be a good thing, as well as customers, where everybody stands on something. Could that be a positive takeaway?
I think it's a huge positive. I think, for instance, if you're thinking about changing companies, the more companies are transparent about their policies about these things, the easier it is for you, for instance, going to Glassdoor and reading about the company or Googling the company,
Yeah. The
easier it is for you to pick a company that's a good fit for you culturally. And at the end of the day, one of the things I think we're learning is culture really matters, because you're going to thrive where you feel good, and you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to do well where you feel bad.
Well said. Greg Stebbin. Follow him on Twitter, @GregStebbin. Check out the Morning Report podcast daily from the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council and 21 Hats, our business career insider. Good info as always. Greg, thanks much.
You bet. It's great to be here.
Biden yesterday.
No one should wait. Let's try to hit that 70% mark. Many adults have not been vaccinated because they have found it too confusing or too difficult or too inconvenient to get a shot. We're going to make it easier than ever.
Michael Bauer with me. I think in Ohio we're at about 40% as far as one or two shots so far. And there seems to be a lot of concern around the country. Vaccines starting to not be used. We're seeing these stories more and more. Worry about us getting to that herd immunity level.
Yeah, herd immunity. That's been goal number one in regards to COVID. Once we found out we had COVID, the way you bump it, the way you fight it, the way you're able to take it over is by achieving herd immunity. And that means 70 to 80% of the country having to be, have to have the antibodies, whether that meant you caught COVID on some level or you got a vaccine. If we get to that 70 to 80%, that means we can really take this thing down. Problem is that what we're looking at recently here is each day we've seen people getting a vaccine fall about 50% from the prior day. So that's dropping back on the peak of April 13th, and that's a concern here, indicating that we may not get to that 70 to 80%, and that's where you saw the president step up this new phase of coronavirus vaccination yesterday, saying, look, there's a light at the end of the tunnel that's growing brighter and brighter. That's true. I mean, he made this announcement on a day where the country's number of reported infections dropped to its lowest point in 7 months. So that's great news. But there's by no means any indication that this is over. That's just highlighting how we're doing well right now with those vaccinations, but we need to continue. So you saw Biden say yesterday he aims to have administered at least one shot to 70% of U.S. adults by July 4th. He wants to see 55 million more people fully vaccinated by that time span, which is a huge push here. But there's a reason for that. You're hearing from every health official around the country really concerned about this herd immunity, indicating that if we don't get to that herd immunity, 80% of the population being immune by the fall, we are going to kick into another huge wave of this coronavirus come the winter. And doctors like Lena Wen are saying you could have this whole process start over again and have another huge pandemic come the winter. Putting everything that we've done for work and vaccines so far, maybe back to square one again, especially if it is a variant that takes over the country that we don't have any vaccine for right now, or boosters are being created for. So that's where the big concern is here. If we don't achieve that goal by the fall, things will get bad in the winter. So this is the big push from the president. You're actually seeing businesses jump into this too, Bill. We're in states like Maryland's offering $100 to state employees who are fully vaccinated and can show proof of that. You're seeing in West Virginia $100 savings bonds to young adults who get their shots. Right there in Cleveland, movie theaters supplying free popcorn through the end of the month if you show your vaccine card. And for those people who are over the age of 21, Budweiser's giving away free beer to anyone 21 and up who can provide proof of their vaccination card. You get a free beer. So they want people to do this. That's the way businesses are trying to dangle the carrot.
Michael Bauer, careful messaging right now, too, because so many states are also lifting things. Pennsylvania says, hey, by Memorial Day, back to normal. And at the same time, they're pushing the vaccine. All right, Michael Bauer on it this morning.
Confusing message.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Michael, thanks much.
You got to stay safe.
All right, before we get to sports, a couple entertainment news, names, notes trending this morning. Here is Jason Nathanson.
We already know that Pink is an icon, and now the singer will be getting the prestigious Icon Award at this year's Billboard Music Awards. She earned the status by being on the charts for 22 years, racking up 33 hits on the Hot 100 chart, including 15 top 10s and 4 number 1s. She also has 8 top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 chart. The Billboard Music Awards will air May 23rd on NBC. Alicia Keys marking 20 years since the release of her debut album with a docuseries for YouTube Originals. It'll be called Noted, premiering this summer, and it'll follow her as she makes her upcoming 8th album. Her debut album, Songs in A Minor, dropped June 5th, 2001. When can you wake up in Vegas and go to a Katy Perry show? The singer and American Idol judge tells Entertainment Tonight.
There might be some magic that is being birthed as we speak. I'm excited to announce it very soon.
And by it, we're thinking a residency. Rumor has it today is Adele's birthday. She's 33. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
One other celebrity trending this morning, Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire. How about the look Mark Wahlberg has? Snipes, have you seen this? He's gained 20 pounds for a movie role?
Yes, really? He's doing a De Niro when kind of in the copy in Robert De Niro when he did it for Raging Bull when he played boxer Jake LaMotta. He gained all that weight, shot the parts of the movie, and then he lost it all when he was the boxer.
Wahlberg says he gained it in like 3 weeks?
Yes.
Gained 20 pounds in 3 weeks.
And it's for, the movie is going to be called Stew. Oh, all right. And that's what it is. But you got to check him out, though.
He's got to lose the weight.
Yeah, because, you film the overweight shots first. And then
lose the weight.
Right, and you'll see him in the picture. He's in the Everlast boxing trunks. He'll go back to that. He'll end up going back to that, believe me.
Wilson Snyder, Facebook, WilsonSnyder.com. Wow. See that?
Yes.
You know, they say that, you know, when De Niro did that, a lot of doctors said that that's not,
it's not
very good.
No. It can't be good at all.
Shocking your body in that short amount of time, going from one extreme to the next.
I'm not sure I could gain 20 pounds in 3 weeks.
That's,
I mean, I can, you know.
That's some serious.
That's serious.
But serious he did. Be yeah. fun, though, wouldn't it?
A lot of donuts, a lot of ice cream.
Sports, Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk, Mike Snyder.
I don't know, would it be fun or not? After a while, yeah, part of it would be fun.
Yeah.
I've had no problem, you know. Yeah.
Quit at 18.
Over the holidays. Yeah.
Right. It's not, that's not fun anymore.
All right. I'll pass on that third donut.
A little history, of course, a couple weeks ago when President Biden spoke at Congress.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President. No president has ever said those words from this podium. No president has ever said those words. And it's about time.
And, of course, Madam Speaker would be one Nancy Pelosi.
And now, 5 good minutes.
The book is Madam Speaker, great read on Speaker Pelosi, put together by the Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page. Susan, thanks for your time. First of all, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
I just finished the Obama book about himself and the Promised Land. He talked about Speaker Pelosi and the way she pushed him, especially on health care. So let me ask you about that. In a way, was that going to be her last, you know, her last big thing? She thought she wouldn't have this job that much longer after that?
You know, Bill, that's exactly right. She thought about stepping down in 2010 after the Affordable Care Act had been passed, and then Democrats lost control of the House. And then she thought again about retiring in 2016 because she assumed, like a lot of us, that Hillary Clinton was going to be elected president. But when Trump was elected president instead, she decided to stick around.
Speaking of Hillary Clinton, what's that relationship like?
You know, there was a time when there was some strain between Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi on the issue of China and human rights in China. But they then became, I think, allies and friends. I interviewed Hillary Clinton for this book about Nancy Pelosi, and she said that both she and President Obama thinks that Pelosi deserves the credit for getting Obamacare through Congress.
Madam Speaker, the book, Nancy Pelosi and the Lessons of Power, at times I've heard it's like herding cats when it comes to keeping your side of the aisle in order. She's had a lot of pressure on the Democratic side here, especially after this last election, not going far enough left. Is she feeling that?
You know, pressure both ways. Pressure from the squad, the most progressive members of the House Democratic Caucus who think that Democrats need to be bolder, need to do Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. But pressure from the center, too. You know, the members of that House who gave Democrats control come from swing districts, and they are much more concerned about pursuing centrist policies, not looking too far left.
Hey, before we get to the Trump years, let me go back to 2008. The country's on the brink. We have no idea what's going to happen. Hank Paulson's wanting just the right to write a check. She's sitting there going, wait a minute, you people haven't talked to me in a while. Now all of a sudden you want my help. But she helped to get everybody on board, right?
She did. After that first failure, you remember that first bill in 2008 failed. The stock market tanked. It looked like we were going to head into another depression. And at that point, Nancy Pelosi pushed through that unpopular bank bailout. She thinks it cost Democrats politically, but economists say now it may have prevented an economic catastrophe.
All right, the Trump years. Sadly, the image of her ripping up the speech, was that kind of the end of it, or did it already happen before that?
You know, was that extraordinary? All my years in Washington, I've never seen anything like that. When Nancy Pelosi stood up, tore the State of the Union in half, tossed the shards on the desk, while Mike Pence is standing next to her, clapping, pretending not to notice what she was doing. It was really, I think, the biggest show of disrespect between the leaders of two branches of government, at least in modern times and maybe forever.
Any regret on her part?
Nancy Pelosi is not one for expressing regret. The one regret she expresses is her failure to convince George W. Bush to withdraw from the Iraq War.
Madam Speaker, is the book Nancy Pelosi and the Lesson of Power. Finally, Biden, how does she help him on her end of Pennsylvania Avenue, you think?
She's crucial for his hopes to getting these big bills through Congress, these unprecedented.
Madam Speaker, is the book Nancy Pelosi and the Lessons of Power, a lady that is going to be leaving her mark on our country without a doubt. Susan Page has written it. Great work, as always, from the Washington Bureau Chief at USA Today. Susan, thanks much.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
All right, trending this morning, Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Former President Trump in the news. Facebook, I guess, later this morning will officially say if he can get back in or on where we can like him. Scooter Reese, producer extraordinaire. Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. A story about President Trump. He's got a new way to communicate, though, right?
Yes, he does.
All right.
Consign him and those who supported him in the Senate to the trash of
of history.
Twitter permanently banning the Commander-in-Chief's personal account with 88 million followers.
Former President Trump on Tuesday launched a communications platform, which will eventually give him the ability to communicate directly with his followers. After months of being banned from sites like Twitter and Facebook, the platform, from the desk of Donald J. Trump, appears on. The space will allow Trump to post comments, images, and videos. The technology appears to be powered by Campaign Nucleus, the digital ecosystem made for efficiently managing political campaigns and organizations. Created by his former campaign manager, Brad Parscale, the space allows Trump to post and allows followers to share the former president's posts to Twitter and Facebook. However, the new platform does not have a feature to allow users to reply or engage with Trump's posts.
You at least get what he's posting. Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com, you can see it. Senator Ted Cruz at Mar-a-Lago having dinner.
Last night
I saw him post that picture. Lion Ted, he was calling me. Remember years ago?
Yeah.
And now they're sitting there having dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Said former President Trump was feeling great. And they were talking about how to take back the House and win more Senate seats.
It's going to get interesting.
Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Check out the story. All right, Scoot, thanks, Mike.
You're very welcome.
It'll be a challenge for some office managers. How do we get you back in your cubicle?
And now, 5 good minutes.
What if we make it fun? What if we have drawings? Our business career insider, Greg Stebbins, joined us on this topic. Check out the daily podcast he does, the Morning Report podcast from Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council and 21 Hats. Great follow on Twitter as well. Always some good content at Greg Stebbins. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, the vaccine, the shot, the office setting, working at home, getting you back into the office. There's a company called CoStar Group that you're reporting on that is looking at this challenge of getting people back into an office, and they thought at least, well, let's try and make it fun. People love to win money, so let's try and give them money, and tell me about this and what happened.
Yeah, money, trips, and Teslas. So they tried a lot of things to get people to come back to the office, and they finally realized here's the winning recipe.
Okay.
If you get vaccinated first, and then you go back to the office, every day, everyone in the office will have a chance to win the daily $10,000 drawing. So you show up for work, your name goes in the hat. If your name comes out, you win 10 grand. The next level of prize is you and three guests will go on the company's corporate jet on an all-expense-paid trip to the Barbados.
Mm.
That's a pretty nice perk. I'd like that. There's four of those trips as well. And then the grand prize is going to be a Tesla. You'll win in Teslas. They're not inexpensive cars.
No.
You'll win a Tesla. And guess what? It's working.
You must be present to win.
Back to the office.
You must be present to win.
That's
yes.
Right.
So
yes,
this is a topic you see. I mean, people are listening this morning going into the office, or they're already there, or they're at home working. But this is a topic everybody's trying to deal with. I mean, we work in a, you know, what they used to call an office park, and every day looks like Saturday used to, with maybe, you know, 5 or 6 cars in front of each building. I'm looking out the window right now. It is a challenge to get people to think about coming back in the office. So I guess you got to make it fun, you're telling me. And have some contests. Now, are other companies doing this that you're reporting on that are maybe learning some trends from this company, CoStar?
Yes, and CoStar is clearly at doing some kind of business where they make enough money to be able to afford this. And not every company can afford it, and your company may not be able to, but there are companies that are doing things like, I love this, giving away office slippers. Come to work and wear your slippers, just like you did when you worked it. I mean, you know, there's some fun, and there's an effort there. There's companies are giving away coffee mugs. That's kind of an obvious thing. I love this. There's a company giving away whiskey. You're not supposed to drink it during the work day, but once you're done and you get home or wherever you like to go. The thing that's so fascinating about this, Bill, is you and I have talked about how there's also a worker shortage.
Yeah.
So if there were tons of people and not enough jobs, you wouldn't have to do this. You just say, don't come back, you're fired. But you can't say don't come back, you're fired, when there's no one else to replace you. And that's, you know, everybody's in a hard spot here. And I really think one of the takeaways from this is to really, regardless of whether you're the manager, the owner, or the employee, at least have some patience and some understanding for the other side. You may not want to go back for a very legitimate reason, but your company also has a very legitimate reason for wanting you to come back. And I think this is one of these times where being patient and understanding and talking to each other, if there's an issue, can really go a long way to coming up with a resolution that's right for everybody.
Great takeaway. Look, me personally, at least handling my professional career, I've always tried to think long term when I was managing people or doing whatever I'm doing now. There's ups and downs and ins, but I always tried to think long term with everything. So get your head here on this. Is that kind of a takeaway? If you're an employee looking at situations, try and think that on both sides of the table.
Well, I think no matter where you are here, the owner, the manager, or the employee, one of the things that where this is really an opportunity for everybody is to display leadership.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the employee, whether you're at home and afraid to go back to work or you're back work and you see the company struggling because others are not coming, this is an opportunity for you to step up and really show some leadership and help the company go in the right direction. That's only going to help your career. If you're the manager, doing the same is going to help your career. Even if you're the owner, if you display leadership and help your company get through this and even other companies, that's going to help you as a business leader and raise the profile of you and your company.
Great point.
This is an opportunity to be generous and do the right thing and have it benefit everybody.
Business Career Insider Greg Stebbin. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Stebbin. Check out the Morning Report podcast and the Small Business Entrepreneurship Council 21 Hats. Hey, by the way, is this CoStar Group hiring? I'm asking for a friend.
You know, it's funny. Just before you called, I looked to see if that was the case. 4,000 employees around the country, and the answer is yes. So apply in time to get the best one.
I'll let him know. Greg, thanks. Have a good day.
It's great to be here.
A couple of the headlines, including this Pfizer vaccine, if approved, and it looks like it will be any day for kids as young as 12. Her advice as far as if you're a parent and giving that to your child. Two other quick sports notes. Speaking of the pandemic, Mike Snyder, a decision on scrapping the Olympics in Japan could come this week. Japan could extend their COVID-19 state of emergency, putting the future of the Summer Games in doubt. Of course, already delayed a year because of the pandemic. Japan's dealing with a surge, and they're really concerned about more cases because of the Olympics. And the Little League World Series is returning to Pennsylvania this August. However, this year's tournament will only feature teams from the U.S., with a limited amount of spectators allowed to be there, and they'll have to show proof that they have been vaccinated to be at the Little League World Series, but not the World this year.
Okay.
Just teams from this
country. Williamsport.
Williamsport, yeah. Headlines this morning was from by Dr. Simone Wilds, our infectious disease physician. Boy, India is dealing with a horrible surge. A lot of people, though, concerned about us reaching a herd immunity in this country. And big news, of course, Pfizer, any day they could be approving the vaccine for kids as young as 12. Doctor, let's start there. Give me some advice to give a parent of a teen, someone as young as 12. What would you do as far as the vaccine?
You know, I would say this is really great news. We've seen that the Pfizer vaccine in adults really has been quite effective and well-tolerated. We definitely know that the data shows it's safe and effective. I really expect that it's going to be the same in children. I think the big things for parents is just be aware of the side effects, which I would imagine is going to be really similar for children as it is for adults. But definitely great news as we try to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we can.
Here in Ohio, everyone 16 and older being offered a vaccine. With that in mind, I'm hearing more concern, at least it seems like I'm hearing more concern about us maybe not reaching a herd immunity threshold. I mean, in Ohio, we're at about 40% of people that have had one or two of the shots. You know, a lot of states are returning vaccine. Are you concerned about that? I mean, COVID's not going away, is it?
Bill, I am very concerned. You know, when I see the numbers for vaccinations slipping, I definitely get concerned because I am seeing patients that have COVID in the hospital, and I want everyone to know it has not left us, so it's not back to normal, and we really need to continue to encourage people to get the vaccine, address their concerns for those who are still on the fence, because, you know, COVID will not leave us unless we take aggressive action.
And finally, Dr. Wilds, my goodness, the images out of India, they have got a problem with a surge there right now, don't they?
Oh, I mean, really heartbreaking. I'll tell you, I have colleagues who are from India and are practicing here in the U.S., and the stories they share about their family is really, really devastating. I think we really have to do all we can to help them. And the thing that really concerns me is we see what's happening in India, you know, could it happen here? Could we end up with some of the same problems they are? I mean, quite unlikely, but I think just a reminder of what can happen if we don't care, take care of each other.
Dr. Simone Wilds, our infectious disease physician over at South Shore Health. Doctor, thanks much.
All right, be safe.
Dr. Simone Wilds, Governor DeWine getting a lot of pressure to start lifting restrictions here in Ohio. He said yesterday, not quite yet. Anyway, Pennsylvania going to lift most of their COVID restrictions Memorial Day weekend. In the state of Washington, vaccinated-only sections will be happening soon. The state's released new guidelines allowing churches, sports stadiums, concerts, other venues to have a vaccinated-only section. Meanwhile, some 40 states right now are considering legislation that would ban schools, businesses, other institutions from requiring vaccinations for people to get back into a classroom or back into the... Before your morning Cavaliers update, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside John Michael, Bally Sports with us as the Suns beat him 134-118 last night. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Well, they got to overtime. First of all, let's give them some credit. Phoenix, as Mike Snyder, you've been reminding me all morning, Bill, they are one heck of a good basketball team, right?
They are, and I thought it was an impressive second half by this team. They erased a 12-point third-quarter deficit, battled back the entire way to force overtime. Didn't go the way they wanted to in the extra session. They had some tired bodies out there. You know, in the ball game, J.B. Bickerstaff went only about seven players deep, used an eighth player for only about 4 minutes. But it was a tired team down the stretch. No excuses for this team, though. They, you know, the way they performed was nice, and to see what Isaac Okoro did, the rookie shattered his career high in terms of scoring. He was spectacular. You know, gives you a glimpse into what you know, part of what this team has heading into the future.
You know, John, well, you mentioned Isaac. I'll tell you, it surprised me last night to see him really play the way he did offensively, going to the basket like that. I had not seen anything really resembling that all year. There have been little bits and pieces, but the whole game, he just played so well offensively and did a lot of different things.
It's really interesting, Mike. You know, his teammates and the coaching staff have been imploring him to be more aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. We know what he can do defensively. And you want to talk about big assignments. I mean, this kid each and every night is guarding the opposition's best player, and he hasn't complained. He hasn't whined. I mean, his attitude has been sensational about that on the defensive end. You don't see that a lot. You know, one and done guys coming out of college, but even stretching back to college, his days at Auburn with Bruce Pearl, his college coach Pearl said, you know, we too just want him to be a little more aggressive on that offensive end. And we saw what the kid can do last night. And again, boy, is that a great sign that, you know, on that offensive end, he has it. He has the ability to do what he did. His previous career high was 20 points, 32 in last night's game. And, you know, had a career high in terms of going to the free throw line, tied a career high in assists in the ball game. So the ball was in his hands a lot, and he did a lot with it. So, man, what an encouraging sign. For the young man.
Yeah, he's only 20, and hopefully he'll get a few more opportunities like that down the stretch run of the season. And really, you go back to his calling card, and I know it was like they fell off a cliff in overtime, but in that fourth quarter, you alluded to it, they hung in there, and the defense and the final possession for Phoenix, he led it really as he defended Devin Booker.
It was fantastic. And I mean, Booker was forced into the corner, took a very difficult shot. You know, that clearly you could even see it on the faces of the Phoenix bench. They were wondering, you know, what kind of a shot was that? They had a full shot clock to work with too, Michael. And, you know, Okoro's been doing it all season. You know, I mean, you just think about it. This week, he was guarding Jimmy Butler. He was dealing with the likes of Bradley Beal. I mean, and it's going to be Luka Doncic coming up. Yeah, this upcoming weekend, tonight, watch, it's going to be Damian Lillard as the Portland Trailblazers are in town. So the hits just keep on coming, and the kid just keeps showing up and doing what he does.
Hey, on Phoenix, back home, the first ever professional sports mascot deal was signed this week with the Phoenix Suns Gorilla. The Gorilla now has a deal on streetwear and footwear. The Gorilla was introduced into the Mascot Hall of Fame, inducted in 2005. My point is...
Yeah, the Gorilla's
been...
Who's
the agent for Sir CC and Moondog? We
gotta get
some
deals. Well, there you go.
We'll get some deals.
I'm sure they're listening.
John, why don't you have your agent represent them?
I'll get on that guy.
I'm serious, man. Sir, I love some of that Sir CC. A little swag,
yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Great and all.
Yeah. Well, the gorilla, I mean, he's been an institution out there, yeah.
Huge. All right. We got Cavs tonight. Cavs, Portland Trailblazers, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Cavs warm-up show 7 o'clock, tip-off 7:30. We'll have it here, WTAM 1100, or free on the iHeartRadio app. And you got the TV play-by-play on Bally's, right?
Yep, sure do. Pre-game starts half hour earlier.
Sounds good. John, thanks, pal.
Good catching up, guys.
Take care. John Michael on a 134-118 loss last night to Phoenix. Tim Alcorn checks in this time. Well, there's a story how they did it, Mike Snyder, but the Indians got yet another win out in Kansas City.
Yes, they did.
Tribe with a 7-3 win. Let's talk about it. Tom Hamilton with the story. The Hammy Report brought to you by Metro Lexus, inviting you to experience amazing. Morning, Tom.
Good morning, Bill and Mike.
So we got two already, right? Two wins out there.
Yeah, you know, in 4-1 on a road trip against the two teams that were ahead of you when this road trip started. So, the club has played very well here over this stretch, and they're finding different ways to win, Bill. I think that's what's encouraging, and finding different players, not just relying right now on Franmil Reyes and Jose Ramirez to carry the offense, and the addition of Harold Ramirez has certainly had an impact in Kansas City. So this has been a heck of a trip.
Yeah, you mentioned Harold Ramirez. Boy, he two huge hits last night. Tom, Ooh. You were talking with Tito before the game about him. He's really excited about him, isn't he?
They really are, Mike. And, we saw some of him in spring training, but he signed so late. He signed once spring training had already begun, and it was like the last week in February, but he had made an impression on them just even when he wasn't playing, just his BP and things like that. And this guy had a pretty good year with Miami a couple of years ago, and then last year an injured hamstring and COVID really wiped out his season. So the Indians may have found something here. I know it's only two ball games, but you're encouraged by his approach. I mean, one, he hits the fastball, but secondly, as we saw again last night, he's willing to go the other way and go the other way with authority.
And, Tom, when you win a couple of games, anytime you win a game when Angel Hernandez's crew is working, you hold your breath, right? This is amazing.
This may sum up Angel Hernandez. His quote after the game was, "Our goal is to get the call exactly right, and that's what we did." And it was like, well, I'll be darned. There's a new definition on getting something exactly right. So, and now tonight he gets to call balls and strikes. So this is really a big day for Indians fans to get ready for tonight's ballgame. Because as Herbie said, you again may see something tonight you've never seen before in a ballgame.
Now, let me just credit this here. Tom Hamilton is an employee of the Cleveland Indians Baseball Company. Having said that, Cleveland.com reports that embattled Major League Baseball umpire Angel Hernandez, I'm quoting Joe Noga's piece, the beat reporter, that he, quote, guessed on a call that went against Cleveland in the third inning. Hernandez told the pool reporters after the win he was essentially blinded by the scoreboard lights in right field when he ruled that a ball hit by the Royals catcher had been caught by either Josh Naylor or Harold Ramirez. We're not sure which one caught it, but he thought somebody caught it.
Somebody caught it. He was the only one.
That's what we're talking about from last night.
Even the home plate up. Yeah. But that was funny. I love Tito's quote. He's going, I think Tito knew there was no reason to challenge. He said, but, these things happen. He goes, but how come they only happen when you're here? Oh, boy. Anyhow, Tom, I got to believe Tito had a good night's sleep. He gets through with the pitchers with committee. They win, and he knows he's got Shane going and arrested Big Three in the pen for tonight, right?
Well, that's the key, Mike. Yeah, you hit it. I thought Cal Quantrill was huge in being able to finish that game last night. The kid, Nick Sandlin, came out of the bullpen, and as Tito said, kind of quieted things down. And, here we're seeing it again, guys. It's early. You're not going to compare this bullpen to Shaw, Miller, and Allen just yet. But it's one of the top bullpens in baseball, and the Royals have one of the worst. And what has happened? Back-to-back nights, the Indians have been able to score big late in the game, and their bullpen has been better than Kansas City's.
Stay on your toes tonight, broadcaster, with Angel Hernandez. You've got to be ready for anything, Hammond. You'll earn your pay tonight. All right, thanks, pal.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
See you, pal. Nice. Indians Royals tonight. First pitch 8:10 WMMS and free on the iHeartRadio app. He is horrible. He is just awful. 8:57 back in the morning at 5. Cleveland's morning news with Wills and Snyder. Mike with your sports. Hopefully a couple of wins for our teams tonight. Another pair of Genesis tickets. You can win them online at WTAM.com, but also tomorrow morning be listing 7:45. Pair of tickets for you to win. On Cleveland's morning news with Wills and Snyder. Tomorrow morning, news radio, WTAM 1100 and free on the iHeartRadio app. Right.